Welcome to the Subscription Maker Podcast. This is your host, Zachary Alexander, Enterprise Architect at SubscriptionMaker.net. Please hit the subscribe button wherever you get your podcast so that you won't miss any new episodes. Today, we're talking with Elaine Pasqua. Elaine is a professional speaker, a performance maximizer, and has been a trusted resource to 31 professional teams. She's worked with over 650 campuses and countless organizations and businesses. The reason we're talking with Elaine is because she is an expert at having difficult conversations with young adults, millennials. Don't get me wrong, Elaine talks about making positive choices. However, as many of us know from experience, these kinds of conversations are complicated and can go very wrong very quickly. Elaine, welcome to the Subscription Maker Podcast.
Thank you for having me, Zachary. It's a pleasure to be with you.
I gotta ask, what's it like to work with so many professional teams?
It is so much fun. Sometimes I pinch myself. I really do. I've worked for 31 teams across the NFL, Major League Baseball, and the NBA. And I don't take any of it for granted. Just even walking into the room with all of these players is just a remarkable experience for me. And it's exciting, and it's nice to be able to help these young men. I'm usually working with new players as they're coming in. And it's exciting to help them build their legacy and build their a positive reputation. And so they are remembered for their stellar performance out there on the field or the court and not their indiscretions off.
How did that happen for you?
I manifested it myself. My whole career has been manifested by cold calling, and I'm a very goal-oriented person. And I just, after speaking at colleges and creating a niche for working with college athletes, I just said, you know, I want to work with the NFL. And so I found the phone number of a few NFL teams, and I got through to the head of player development for a couple teams. And it was the New York Giants who I started with. And I talked with this gentleman once, and he was like very nice and said, okay, yes, send me your website. And I didn't hear from him. And a year later, I called back again, and he said, well, we'll have our intern look at it. And then the following year, we looked at it again, and I said, I'll come in for free for you. And he's like, oh, okay, let's have the team psychologist look at it. And she did and loved it, and they brought me in. And then from there, it just built. So that was 10 years ago that I started with the Giants, and then I contacted then they connected me with the NFL itself, and I ended up coming to some conferences that they invited me to. That opened me up to work with seven other teams, and then I went to the NBA. They knew the person at the Giants, so he had a lot of credibility. So then I worked for their training for their D leagues, and the same thing with Major League Baseball. I call them up. You can manifest anything that you want. You just have to work hard and be smart about it.
Would you tell us a little bit about your company?
My company is called Pasqua Productions Incorporated. We have been in business. Well, I have been speaking for 25 years, Pasqua Productions Incorporated. I think we became incorporated in 2001. And my purpose is to enhance the lives of others. And so I work with I've cut back a little bit. I was working with about 70 college campuses every year, creating a niche for working with collegiate athletes, talking about high-risk behaviors, warning them about the effects of these behaviors, and motivating them to make positive choices. I have also worked with many businesses doing programming on diversity and inclusion, sexual harassment, workplace harassment, and effective communication. I have worked with the military working with sexual assault and sexual harassment. Sexual assault is also one of my other areas of expertise. And then working for professional athletes. Also working with parent groups in high schools. So you can take your content and information and tailor it specifically to meet the goals of the target audience that you're working with.
Have you ever had to pivot?
Oh, yes. I've been pivoting for 25 years. I tell people that I have basically adopted what we call the Madonna model. When they look at Madonna's career and they analyzed it, they said the reason that she had sustained this career for so long is because she kept reinventing herself. So I first started speaking about HIV and AIDS because I lost my mom and stepdad to AIDS-related complications. And then I recognized that there was a need. It's always recognizing needs and knowing what the latest trends are and pivoting to satisfy that. And so I recognized the need on campuses as I was working with them that we needed to address high-risk drinking, that we needed to address sexual assault, general sexual health. And then I pivoted when somebody recommended that I work with collegiate athletes, and I created that specific niche. And then from there, going on to the athletes. And so I pivoted from one sector to another. And it's good. You don't put all your eggs in one basket. I have many different options. And right now I'm pivoting because my work with professional athletes and the colleges has basically declined right now with the COVID pandemic. And so we're still uncertain about the fall. We have no idea what's going to happen. But I'm now putting together some learning modules, video learning modules for some corporations on diversity and inclusion. And so I'm reaching out to different clients. I'm pivoting by, instead of being there live, I can do virtual programs live via Zoom, or I can send pre-recorded programs. So you have to keep pivoting to stay in business.
Who do you turn to for help with your pivots?
I've been a member of National Speakers Association since 2008. And so it's an incredibly supportive community of people. And you don't just learn how to be a phenomenal speaker, but you also learn how to run the business of speaking. And so through them, I gain a lot of information. I sit on the board of directors for the Philadelphia chapter. We have some remarkable members within that chapter, and we're all there to support each other. I also listen to my clients, and they help me with my pivots. You know, I've been talking to universities over the last few days and hearing about how much their budgets have been cut. So through them and my conversations with them, I'm learning how to still continue the work. Maybe we're going to make a little bit less money. Maybe we're going to have to go virtual. I'm learning to give them different options. So just listening to people around me and listening to the latest trends in the news, too. I think that's incredibly important. So it's not been one specific person. It's been continually communicating with many individuals.
Traditionally, what kind of services do you offer?
I offer keynote speeches, and so that can be for any type of audience. I could be doing motivational speaking. I do the speaking for college campuses for freshman welcome week when they're moving in, doing programs for the college athletes about the life skills. There's also Title IX mandate on sexual assault. I also offer coaching meetings and talking to coaches about the high-risk trends. How can they listen to their athletes and understand that perhaps they are struggling with certain issues and how they can get them help, how they can have more critical conversations with them. And then doing work with the military, again, because they have their sexual assault mandate. But I'm one of the few people that combines the topics of high-risk drinking and sexual assault. And they'd like that because I talk about what happens to behavioral aspect, you know, of an individual when the alcohol is occurring, what's actually happening in the brain. And then I've done training for college staff, so working with administrators and professors. And then for the pro teams, for Major League Baseball, I do work for the minor league players. I do work for the NFL for the rookies that are coming in, and then for the NBA for the D-League players. It's now called the G-League. And so my programs are always specifically tailored for each individual that I work with. And so I can combine a number of different topics because my wheelhouse of expertise is so broad. And then I also, for businesses, I can do training or I can do keynotes for them. So, and I can do one-on-one coaching for individuals on platform skills, how to be a good speaker, not necessarily a professional speaker, but if somebody in a business setting wants to be more convincing and wants to be more engaging, I can teach them how to do that as well.
Do you offer any subscription services?
I have not yet.
Not yet. I like
not
that.
Yet. I'm always open to new things. So no, I have not offered any subscription services. I know, you know, a number of my colleagues have had mastermind services and their membership groups, and it's something that I've toyed with doing as well. When you're on the road a lot, you know, there are years that I'm flying 65 segments a year, and it's hard to juggle all of it. It's just myself and my husband, so we are a small business. We haven't been employing other people, which I'm happy for right now, especially with the pandemic. And so there's only so much that you can accomplish, but it is something that I'm looking at, especially if I want to maybe slow it down a little bit and not be on the road quite as much, because after 25 years, it does get, I love it, but it gets a little tiring as well.
How do you compete with larger, more established consultancies?
I have to be very good on the platform. That's how I do it. I have built my own reputation, and there are a number of groups. The competition is great in this field. It truly is. And there are a lot of people that are out there doing what I do, and they have built a larger machine, so to speak, than I have. But I have built a phenomenal reputation nationally. You know, there was one year where all the SEC football programs brought me in. I've been with the University of Alabama's football program five different times now. And so I have built my own reputation. And I think the important thing about me and why people go to me is, one, they trust me. Two, I am so easy to work with. I listen to them. I meet their needs specifically. And they know what they're getting when they come to me.
Do you ever have pivot conversations with your clients?
Yes, in terms of going from, and for me pivoting directly or for them?
For them.
Yes, counseling. I have. No, I have. I have often advised my clients, because I learn things from all of my other clients. I mean, I have been at over 650 college universities across the country, and I've learned a lot from them, and I see what works and I see what doesn't work. And so I am always happy to pass the information that I have learned along the way to them, to help them perform better, to better meet the needs of their students and their staff as well.
Okay, time for a change up. Okay. What does the term positive choice mean to you?
Positive choice is a mindset that somebody can adopt and establish in their life, where they're very intentional about the day-to-day decisions that they make, and that they have to gain that ability to be able to step back in certain situations when things are building up around you and things are getting fun and things are going crazy. And I talk about it. I grew up 15 miles outside of New York, and I was a pretty crazy person. I could probably write a book about some of the things that happened to me. But I always knew when to step away, and I always knew when to reflect, and that's what I promote now. I want you to be able to step back and have that 1 30-second opportunity to say to yourself, if I do this, is it going to take me in a direction that I'm going to regret? Or if I don't do it, am I going to stay on the track and achieve the goals that I've been working so hard to achieve? So my message to them is that one night, one inconsequential decision can change the rest of their lives. And we've seen that happen. We see it happen to politicians. We see it happen to major business owners, to rock stars, you know, athletes. And so I want people to stay on course so they can have a good quality of life and feel good about the life that they created.
Could you talk about how to approach those kind of conversations?
You have to approach it with honesty and not be judgmental whatsoever. And it was once said that there was one professional football team that was considering me, and they went to another pro team and they asked my contact there, you know, for a recommendation. And he said, she walks in the room, I don't think she weighs 100 pounds wet, I'm pretty tiny. And the guys look at her like, what the hell? And then she opens her mouth. I grew up in New Jersey, and Jersey people call it as they see it, and I am very honest. And because of my past, I am not judgmental. And sometimes you will see that the adults in the room who were once crazy and took a lot of risk when they were younger, they suddenly shift and they forget what they were like when they were this age. I have not forgotten that. And I can sit down and have these one-on-one critical conversations with a guy from an NFL team who pulls me out in the hall and says, I'm wrestling with this, I'm wrestling with that. And I can talk to them openly and honestly. So the thing with the positive choices is that I share a lot of stories when I am presenting, because as humans, we don't remember the facts. We shut down when you're going blah, 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 blah. But we have to connect the brain and the heart together. And so when you share the stories and you share the consequences and you hit people emotionally, that's when you can motivate them. So I'm a great storyteller. And when people come up to me afterwards and they say, you know, you really spoke to me, and I say, what did speak to you? And they said, your stories. And I use a lot of interactive learning too. So we have open, honest conversations, and nothing makes me feel better than when I'm going out to my car and somebody follows me to my car and says, thank you. You made me think differently about the choices that I've made in my life. I had a good day.
Besides not being judgmental, are there any other guardrails we should be aware of?
We need to know our facts. Is that what you're meaning by guardrails, things that keep us within our lane?
Yeah. Right.
It is my responsibility to have the current information. When I first started speaking in 1998, it was a very, very different landscape. That was on at the college circuit, but I started speaking in 1995, actually. But things changed dramatically. And, you know, we didn't have kids with smartphones. We didn't have the internet. Things were so different. And it's my responsibility to keep up with the trends so I can be relatable to them and I'm not coming in looking like a dinosaur.
Okay. Now that you've knocked my change up out of the park, I gotta throw my curveball at you. What do you think about online communities?
I think online communities, I belong to a number of online communities, and I think the advantage of them is that it's bringing people together that have a specific focus, and we can all be helpful to one another. We can all support each other with information that is pertinent within this group. So it could be a social community. It could be a business-related community. It could be a community that has a specific interest in a certain area. But I'm very supportive of them.
Do you think they'll be more important after the lockdown?
I think so. I think they've become very important during the lockdown as well. I mean, we've all learned to be supportive of one another. We're learning how to communicate differently now and to stay in contact with one another. And that's been important too, because as humans, we are social creatures. And there's a lot that happens within the brain by seeing micro expressions and movements in people. And so just being able to have the Zoom meetings and to be able to see people has been crucially important. We've had a lot of parties with friends. My son, who lives in Brooklyn, did a 2-hour dance party with his cat and his fiance in their apartment one night. And so, you know, we've managed to bring the world together at a time, you know, isolation is very detrimental to our mental and, you know, our emotional well-being. And so this has been incredible. And I think it has shifted us into a different paradigm. And so we now realize that we can still continue to communicate with one another. And, you know, we've been on lockdown since March 13th, and I'm okay. I'm okay with it. I still feel like I've had enough social interaction. So, you know, we can get through this.
Now you talked there about online communities and the focus they provide, but a lot of people are starting online communities using Facebook. And they're concerned that their focus, that it doesn't provide the focus they want. And what they're doing is they're started branding social networks. Have you ever considered that for your company?
No, but that's not something that I would not do. I mean, I'm in a couple social networks or specific groups, I should say, within LinkedIn, people related to the health field and people related to SHRM. So I've got specific groups like that, but I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense.
As we start to wrap up, are there any questions you wish more people would ask you?
Trying to think. I mean, I think that people should just, you mean personal questions or questions about my professional information that I share?
Yeah, questions about your the way you approach the business, the way you approach what you do, those types of questions, not personal stuff, but.
Right.
Is there something people aren't getting about what you do?
I'm not sure people aren't getting about what I do. I can say one thing is that people see how hard I work and they worry about me. Because when you are self-employed, it can be very consuming. And when you're a professional speaker, people see you coming out on the stage and you come in, oh yeah, you get to fly to a different city, you're on stage for an hour and you walk away and they're like, whoa, they get paid really well for doing that. And they don't realize that there are many, many months where I am home at my desk 12 hours a day. And they don't understand the back end effort that goes into running a business like this. And I tell people, and I think I'd like people to understand this, I don't have a job. And for 25 years, I've had to work really hard at being good on the platform, at getting myself out there publicly so people know who I am, and keeping myself out there and then competing with all the other stuff that's going on and all the other speakers and presenters and online programs. And so if you really love what you do, you have passion for it, and it doesn't seem like work, and you don't mind the 12-hour days. So I think it's good that people understand what exactly goes into developing a business like this. One of the things that that does happen, and I think people need to reflect on too, ask me or ask themselves more importantly. So many people come to me now and they say, I want to be a speaker. Can you help me? And my first question to them is, what do you want to speak about? And they say, I don't know. And it's like, wait a minute, if you don't know what you want to speak about, then where is your passion? Where is your experience? So they see us and they think, this is a great way to make a lot of money. But if you don't have passion and you don't have expertise, you're not going to be a good speaker.
What's the best way to follow you on social network?
I am on Facebook, Elaine Pasqua, Pasqua. I am on Instagram. I am on Twitter. And I am on LinkedIn. And my website is www.elainepasqua.com. We hope to have a new website up within the next 3 or 4 weeks. We're fine-tuning that and working on that right now.
Okay, does that mean you've got a new offering coming out?
A new offering by, you mean somebody?
You say you're coming up with a new, website. Does that mean you're going to have a new offering, or are you just refining what you already are doing?
I am adding some new offerings. In all honesty, what happened was my web developers went out of business and we couldn't get on the back end of that site to change. And I have added new offerings, but they're not reflected on my present website. And so, yes, there will be new things there and new photos. You know, I've just done so much more in the last few years, so it's just updating. I got a wonderful photo of me with Nick Saban, and I just new photos from working with some of the professional teams. And in fact, it's funny because today on my memories of Facebook, it came up with me working with the New York Giants, and I've got my arm around Odell Beckham. And so it's fun. So anyway, there'll be some new exciting things on the website.
So what we'll do is we'll update the show notes when those become available.
Okay, that's
so
great.
We'll make sure that we reflect the changes.
Thank you. It'll be the same website address, you know, ElainePasqua.com. It'll just be a whole new site with a whole different look.
That'll work. Elaine, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Subscription Maker Podcast.
Thank you so much, Zachary. It was such a pleasure to be with you.
This is your host, Zachary Alexander, Enterprise Architect at SubscriptionMaker.net. Please join us next time as we continue to talk about what it takes to be a successful subscription maker.